Welcome to Inside the Match, where Alex and Simone talk residency applications.
We are two residents here to help you navigate the match.
For each podcast, we'll bring you residents from various specialties and backgrounds to give advice.
So today we are super excited to have a child neurology program director. So thanks so much for joining us, Dr. Burnson Lung.
Thanks, Simone. It's great to be here.
So where are you an attending physician and what is your official position?
So I am the program director for the child neurology residency program at Boston Children's Hospital in Boston, Massachusetts. And I'm also an attending there specializing in pediatric stroke and cerebrovascular disorders.
So we'd like to start our podcast with some rapid fire questions to learn a little bit more about you and your application to child neurology. So were you AOA?
We didn't have AOA at my school.
That is so cool. I love when schools get away with that. Were you gold humanism?
We also did not have gold humanism at my school. We were all humanists.
Love it. So, you know, all throughout this trail, it's incredibly stressful. And I'm wondering if you have any funny interview stories or deficiencies in your own residency application to share with applicants.
So I think I went into the residency recruitment process being really nervous about sort of wanting to fit in with the other applicants and, you know, expecting a very sort of standard series of questions the way that had been more my experience in interviewing for medical school. And instead, I had such varied experiences and I had so much fun. I wound up talking to one interviewer just about her book recommendations and another one about Japanese woodblock prints because I happened to have taken a class on that in college. And it was just great to see the, you know, diversity of different people and programs and have a little bit of fun on the interview trail. So that was a really positive surprise.
That is a really important point about this entire process. And child neurology is very much a family. It's a very small field. And so I'm very curious what makes a competitive child neurology applicant when you're going through all of the ERAS applications in the fall.
You know, you're right, Simone. It's one of the things that I really like about the field is it is really small and close-knit. Everybody sort of knows everybody else within the field. I think the things that make people stand out are people who have a really compelling story for why they're choosing child neurology. And for some people, that may be very personal. There are a lot of people who go into child neurology who have a family member with a neurological disorder, or even they themselves had a neurological disorder growing up. But you could also just have fallen in love with it because of a particular area of research or a particular patient that you met along the way in medical school. So I don't think there's any one type of competitive child neurology applicant. I know what our program is really looking for, and I imagine a lot of other programs are the same, is people who really have a deep and abiding interest in the field and in that thing that brought them to the field. So whether that's having a research trajectory that is related to child neurology in some way, even if it isn't officially in a disorder that's a pediatric disorder, but maybe something that points them towards a pediatric neurological disorder in the future for their research, or someone who has been spending a lot of time over many years, you know, working with kids and really dedicated to children's healthcare. I think that the applications that jump out to me are the people who can really tell those stories and that their enthusiasm and engagement just leap off the page. But there's no one model or mold for the child neurology applicant because we look for so much diversity within the field in terms of people's backgrounds and interests.
That's really important and key to think about. And in regards to that, Boston Children's is one of the top children's hospitals in the country. So when you are going through applications every fall, how do you diversify between all of the applicants?
Yeah, so we have a holistic review process, which means we spend a lot of time on each application, really looking for each of those elements of, you know, what is someone's passion for the field and how are they able to describe that? What kind of experiences have they had that made them convinced that this is the right field for them? And what is somebody interested in doing? It doesn't mean that you have to know exactly what subspecialty of child neurology you're going to go into in the future, because that's that's why you do training, is to get to explore all of those things. But I think for me, I often look at people's personal statements and really speaking to their vision for who they want to be as a physician someday within child neurology. And then we absolutely look at things like people's research experiences or leadership experiences in medical school, people who, you know, really made an impression on their letter writers. So not just somebody who sort of knows you a little bit, but they have the big recognizable name, but someone that you really got to work with and they got to know you as an individual and can speak to what kind of a child neurologist you're going to be in terms of your interests and your dedication and your capabilities. Those are the things that really jump out to us, is when we have, you know, a letter writer say, you must take this person. They're going to be such a fantastic leader in your field.
And the holistic review is really important for a lot of applicants to recognize, but people do get stressed if their USMLE or their COMLEX score is a little lower than what might be considered average for the field like child neurology. So do you have any tips for people in order to strengthen their application?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think that one thing to keep in mind is, you know, numbers are just numbers. So, you know, you may see the average for the field, but you don't know what the lowest step one or step two score was in that particular residency class that year. So don't necessarily be discouraged. Our program, and I think other programs as well, don't necessarily use a particular cutoff or filter for step scores. I do think if you have a strikingly low step score, it helps to just acknowledge it and just, you know, comment on, were there things about the day that you took the test that were sort of mitigating circumstances that made it harder for you to do well, or that there was something going on in your life that made it harder for you to study for it? Were there things that you learned from that experience that you would do differently the next time you took a standardized test? It's not that it's all about test taking. We care much more about how you are as a physician. But I think it helps for people to sort of acknowledge really any weaknesses in their application rather than trying to cover them up or breeze by them, and really say, hey, this is something that, you know, that happened and that I learned from, and here's how I'm stronger and better for it.
I really love when you talk about the fact that you don't know the highest and the lowest step scores in a program. That information is not made available for a reason. So it's really important for people to remember that when looking at these average scores that they see on the NBME websites. So, you know, a lot of the times those who may not have a child neurology program in their medical school may not know where to get experience. And so I'm wondering, for those that don't have a program, or even for those that do, if you advise applicants to complete an away rotation.
So I think it can be really helpful to complete an away rotation if that's something that's available to you. Like you said, a lot of places don't even have a child neurology rotation at their home institution. And then also certainly with the pandemic and all of those disruptions, it's been a lot harder for people to be able to get those away rotations. I guess what I would say is, do what you need to do to make sure that it's the field for you. So maybe you can't do a formal child neurology rotation, but you can do a longitudinal experience shadowing a particular preceptor in their child neurology clinic and really get a sense that way. And then that person also can speak to your excellence when they're writing you a letter of recommendation. You can also look to going to other programs that you might be interested in trying to match to, but I don't think there's any requirement that you have to do that, or that somebody wouldn't consider you if you weren't able to do an away rotation with them.
And let's say I really don't even know if I want to do child neurology. How would someone differentiate between applying to child, adult, and even neurodevelopmental disabilities programs?
I'm so glad you asked that question, because it comes up really often. And some people even do wind up applying to more than one of those three related programs. So adult neurology is a three-year program after 1 year of adult internal medicine. Child neurology is 3 years after 2 years of preliminary pediatrics, two or more. And then neurodevelopmental disabilities is very closely affiliated residency program that is a lot of the same training that you would get as a child neurologist. You do your 2 years of pediatrics, 3 years of a child neurology type training, but woven through that is a lot of additional training, really going in depth in things like the holistic care of children with autism or cerebral palsy or intellectual disabilities and anything else that you might really want to be able to go in deep into being able to diagnose and manage in a very sophisticated way. So I really encourage people who are interested, for example, in something that spans child neurology and neurodevelopmental disabilities to consider applying to and interviewing at both types of programs and just get a feel for, you know, what different people do with that training. I think it's so helpful to talk to people who trained in these different training programs and get a sense of what is their day-to-day life like, who are the patient populations that they take care of and specialize in, and what are the dynamics of the day-to-day. You know, I love adult neurology. I love all of the complex neuroanatomy localization that you can do from a really sophisticated exam, but give me the opportunity any day of the week to get literally paid for running up and down the hallways and playing with little squeaky light-up toys with my patients in order to figure out what's going on in their brains. And I have the best job in the world. I'm a little bit biased. So that's my view of child neurology. And I think very similarly for neurodevelopmental disabilities, those folks would tell you they love being able to really provide a very deep level of understanding and care for these patients with very complex disorders based on the training that they've had. So as much as possible, reach out to people either at your own institution or honestly, anywhere. We're always happy to talk about our field because we think it's the greatest. And so reach out to us and get a sense of how you might be able to see yourself in the future.
That is so important to learn about what it really is like to be a day-to-day physician in that specific specialty. So I love that no matter what field you're going into, to really ask those detailed questions to really learn more about the field. And that brings me to the interview portion of this entire residency journey. And it can be really stressful to have a child neurology interview because I've heard that you interview not only sometimes with child neurology, but you also do a pediatrics interview. So that sounds like a lot of people to talk to. So in regards to that, what sort of questions, if you were applying into the match, would you ask the program director in order to learn more about the child neurology program you're applying to?
Sure, Simone. So I think at the end of the day, a lot of the programs are very similar in a lot of ways. You know, we all have the same training requirements, but I think there are big differences between the programs in terms of what is their approach to sort of clinical learning. Are you someone who's going to be, you know, seeing a lot of patients and just learning by really getting to know all of the patients that you care for? Or are you someone who's going to have sort of a lower volume service and then spend more time sort of reading and in more didactics? And it's not that one or the other is better. It's just you have to know sort of what you might be looking for as an applicant. And similarly, are you someone who really envisions yourself going into a clinician scientist career? You're going to ask, of course, about research opportunities. Do you want to be a medical educator? You want to ask about tracks or pathways or other opportunities in medical education. And the same thing for people who are interested in advocacy, quality improvement, global neurology, whatever it might be. All of those things are available to you within child neurology. Even though it's a small field, it's incredibly broad. And so if you have interests that you are even starting to develop in those areas, definitely ask about what are the opportunities to explore that as part of your professional development during your child neurology training. So I think that would be a big thing. And then in addition to that, different programs structure the training differently in terms of, for instance, do you do your 12 months of adult neurology? Because child neurologists in our 36 months of training actually do 12 months of adult neurology. Do you do that all at the beginning and just sort of knock it out? Or do you integrate that, weaving it into the first, second, and third years of your child neurology training? We do the latter, and I really like it about our program because people get to sort of develop as neurologists and see adult neurology at different points in their training. And also you feel, I think, a little bit more connected to the pediatric program because you're, as even a PGY3, you're seeing your continuity patients in clinic and you're rotating on the inpatient child neurology services. But again, other programs do it differently. So I think asking about those different training structures are important too.
Those are great questions to discuss, especially because there are so many differences in those child neurology tracks within residency. And other times within an interview, we get the opportunity to speak with residents to learn more about the program. And this can be a time where we might be able to learn some of the intricacies that we may not feel as comfortable asking faculty. So I'm wondering, if you are applying into child neurology, what sorts of questions would you ask the residents?
So I would definitely ask them where they live in the city and what they like to do, because you do actually have time outside of your residency that you're going to want to be, you know, enjoying the most of. I think also asking the residents about things related to their wellness. So what is the relationship with the faculty? What is the relationship with the program leadership? If you have a concern, do you feel that you can go to program leadership and that it'll be heard? Are there even changes that the program has made in response to some of those concerns brought up by residents? What sorts of initiatives are in place or in the works to address really important issues, like not only overall wellness, but important things about the culture of a program, like what are their current initiatives around diversity, equity, and inclusion? I think all of those things about the relationships are going to tell you so much about a program beyond just what resources they have to offer.
And you've given us so many questions that we can ask to learn more about programs. And something that can be stressful towards the end of our interview journey is the time when we have to put all of this information together and then rank the programs. So I'm curious if you have any tips when it comes to applicants who are trying to rank their programs at the end of interview season.
So I think one thing to keep in mind is at the end of the day, you are still going to get to be a child neurologist. So whatever you decide to put as your number one, number two, number three, you're going to have an amazing training and an amazing career. I think that being said, you know, really thinking about what is most important to you, what do you envision yourself doing, you know, 5 years, 10 years down the road, and is there a program that's going to be the most supportive of getting you there and that you'll, you know, have some fun along the way. I think the you know, personalities and fit are really important, just feeling like it's a place that you can become your best self and bring your best self and be valued. And I think sometimes what people find very valuable at the end of the interview season is to sort of circle back and either talk more with program leadership or maybe talk with if there's someone at that program who came from your med school or from the region that you're coming from and would be able to speak to more sort of individually, what would your experience at that program be like? Definitely don't hesitate to reach out and just bounce ideas and questions off of them.
And you mentioned reaching out, and we know that program directors get lots of emails in their inbox. But, you know, one important thing to do is always to thank an interviewer for their time, whether that be the program director or the chair or any faculty member. And I'm curious what your take is on thank you notes. Should they be emailed, handwritten, and are they necessary?
So I definitely don't think that thank you notes are necessary. People who are applying to residency have so many things that are already on their plate, and it's just such a stressful process. I would hate to add anything else to it, especially making people feel they had to handwrite it on nice stationery. I think if you really felt like you connected with somebody, again, whether it's the program director, your interviewers, maybe one of the residents that you met during your time there, I think it's always great to reach out to them with some sort of specific, hey, you know, I really loved hearing about your experiences in global health. I would love to do a project like that someday. Thanks so much for talking with me about it. But if you don't feel that you have something specific like that to share, or you're just burnt out of interviewing, I really wouldn't worry about it. I think where I would put more emphasis is on if you have questions about a program, you're trying to figure out if it's the right fit for you, just having those conversations, and emails are totally fine. I always share my email with everybody on the interview day. And I love hearing follow-up questions that, you know, people say, well, I've been thinking more about this and I have a question, that really tells me that people, you know, got something out of the day and are thinking about our program and if we might be a good fit for them. But again, none of that is by any means required.
And it's so important for people to realize that it is about finding a fit, because this is going to be your family. Residency is tough. And so you're going to be with these faculty members and these residents for a period of time. And you really want to be able to appreciate where you are. You know, a lot of the times we always wonder, especially when we may not have a child neurology program in our medical school, what ways we can find opportunities to learn about the field or find a mentor or even look into research opportunities. So do you have any tips for those that are looking for these sorts of resources?
Definitely. So I strongly encourage medical students who are interested in potentially applying in child neurology to think about joining some of the professional associations. So there's a Child Neurology Society. There's also the American Academy of Neurology, which is for all of neurology, adult and child, but certainly is a great place to get to know neurology. There's also the American Neurological Association, and the Child Neurology Society and AAN student membership is actually free, and ANA membership, it's very inexpensive for students. Those are great ways to get things like free admission to the annual meeting. Maybe you can go and present a poster from an interesting case that you saw and get to start talking with child neurologists, attend. There's often programming specifically for students and getting to do speed mentoring or things like that with people from all across the country in these fields. So those are great ways to get out there and start meeting people and maybe even developing a relationship that can turn into an ongoing mentoring relationship with somebody. I also think that there's been some great opportunities on Twitter recently with things like Inside the Match and other accounts, including things that are more specific to neurology and to child neurology, really trying to get people talking and connecting, and they have formal mentorship programs as well. So definitely if you are already on Twitter or if you've been thinking about it, that's a great place to find a lot of child neurology programs. May have their own accounts, child neurology program directors or other faculty, and also those societies that I mentioned. So those are great ways to join the conversation very quickly and easily from all over the country and the world. There's also a section of the what we call the Green Journal. The journal is just called Neurology, but the Green Journal has a section called the Resident and Fellows section that has a lot of great sort of teaching cases and other articles related to neurology training. And there's also a child neurology section of that. So if people are interested in just reading up a bit about what kinds of things we see and what kinds of things we learn about and how the training processes work, that's another great resource.
Well, you've provided us so many ways in which we can excel throughout this residency process in child neurology. And I'm curious if there's anything else you'd like to offer about this stressful journey in order to become a child neurologist.
So, Simone, I think one of the biggest things I always encourage people is just be yourself. I know that sounds easy to say, but be yourself, let your light shine in the interviews. I think it's much less about trying to find the program that will take you than trying to find the program that you want to go to and they like you and you like them and you're a good fit for each other. And I think that people who always, you know, strike me on the interview days are people who are just so passionate about something. Sometimes it is something about child neurology, and sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's a hobby or the career that they had before they went to medical school. And I love learning those things about people. I think we in child neurology really appreciate the humanist aspects of the field. And so we really embrace learning about people as individuals outside of medicine. So whatever it is, I encourage people to to share that. And similarly, whatever your passions within child neurology might be, whether that's, again, research or medical education or global neurology or advocacy, just let your enthusiasm shine through. And I think that's a great way to start conversations and a great way for people to really get to know you and picture you at their program or institution.
That's so key. And one cool thing about you is that you have been affiliated with Harvard for medical school, residency, fellowship, now in the program director position. And so to see somebody who has really loved their community that much really showcases a lot about the program itself. And so you have shared with us so many key ways in which we can excel throughout this journey, but I want to do one more thing. So can you share a fun fact about yourself, totally unrelated to medicine or child neurology?
So I think the most fun part of my life is my son. He's a little over 3 years old, and he is my walking, talking seminar in child development. Every day he does something new and amazing and ridiculous. So I really appreciate being able to, you know, see the world through his eyes.
Well, after, you know, playing with lots of bouncy toys at work, you get to play with them at home as well.
Absolutely.
Well, that's all the time we have today with Dr. Burns and Lung. Thanks for joining us at Inside the Match. Special thanks to Kevin McLeod for the music, and be sure to follow or subscribe to our podcast. Catch our next podcast to learn more application tips and hear from another awesome leader in medical education.